afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Wednesday, September 29th, 2021. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I'd like to remind everyone RBN is listener-supported. Please donate whatever is manageable, but know that for every $100 donation or more, you get your choice of a high-quality RBN t-shirt, the size of your choice, or an official RBN coffee mug. Both excellent ways to spread the word about free speech in style. Great conversation starters, and a win-win all around. Free speech cannot exist, folks, without being funded by we, the people. And you can use PayPal on the RBN website donate page. You can call our RBN staff to donate via credit or debit card. You can call in to donate at 800-724-2719, extension 3. Or you can mail in that donation, cash, check, money order, to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And we greatly appreciate it, folks. Please help ensure that RBN continues broadcasting this uncensored content well into the future. And this being Wednesday, I do have my Wednesday co-hosts here with me, Mr. Gregory McGill and William Repillum. Gregory, hello.
Hey. Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Good, good. How are you today, sir?
I'm okay. It's a beautiful day out here in Northeast Ohio.
Excellent. Yeah. We have that that nice, cool, gradual transition to autumn here.
Yeah, I love it. It's the best weather.
And we have William. We have William Repillum here as well. Hello, William.
The coffee talk. Hey. How are you doing, William?
What?
There he is.
Hey, man. Hey, Richard. Hey, Greg. Hey, everybody out there. Good to be here today. And, hi.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah, I did get your one message a little last minute there. I would love to have Thomas, Mr. Goodrich on again soon.
Yeah.
Sure. Say, on the topic of our mutual friend, Mr. Gahari, have you had any luck, for example, in trying to reach his wife? Or I know if you could get information, you know, I don't know how easily the staff nurses there would give it out about the ventilator and his chart stats. I know Steve Elkins, you know, the nurse here on RBN staff, would love to, you know, to help with any recommendations he could. You know, you never know, though, even trying to ask for that info, how people might take it the wrong way. I don't know. Have you had any progress on that?
Well, I called in last night to talk to Steve Elkins per your recommendation, and mm-hmm. he asked for more information. He was asking, you know, is there any history of mesothelioma or pulmonary edema? Or was there a trach or anything like that, tracheotomy? My homework is to maybe try to see if I can find out. But as of now, you know, I found out, you know, which hospital he's in. Let me kind of just give me a minute here to kind of just take you through the.
Can you tell everybody who it is that we're worried about? We're worried about our friend Dave Gahari, and what he's the one that runs Money Tree Publishing.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Greg. Yeah. So, yeah, Richard did mention his name. But, yeah, let's do it again. So, yeah, again, Dave Gahari. And Dave Gahari is a regular on David Duke's show, and he's got quite a story. He wrote the book Erasing the Liberty about the USS Liberty. That's a recent.
Right. He's the biggest expert on that subject in the whole world.
Yeah. Really incredible insight that Dave has, and he's just a warrior for getting the truth out through his publishing company. you know, to as many people as possible. And so, you know, I'm not going to speculate. We just don't know on why he suddenly just got sick with what they're calling COVID.
Right.
But what it seems to be, you know, some lung thing. And they gave him this this terrible treatment, remdesivir. And, you know, and he's been in the hospital since the 6th of since Labor Day. So he's been over three weeks now. And they gave him this treatment. And when I talked to him on like the 17th, he seemed pretty weak and but recovering. And he seemed hopeful about recovering, but that, you know, he was very short of breath. And it was kind of hard to see him in that state. You know, it was tough. But then, you know, and I would check with him every day and see, hey, how you doing? What's your status? And for about, you know, and for about a week. And he'd say, yeah, I'm okay, but, you know, I'm still slow recovering. And then I checked with him a couple of days ago, Monday or today, Wednesday, Sunday. Didn't get an answer, so I asked again. And then I got an answer from his wife saying that he's in critical and he's on a ventilator now.
Oh, boy.
So
yikes.
That was really, really, really worrying. Really
worrying.
And yeah, so, that's terrible.
So that's when I thought about Dr. Brian Artis and what he was saying about the remdesivir. And trying to get that information over to his wife. And she apparently hasn't seen those messages yet. But I got in touch with Thomas Goodrich, and he has been kind of getting in touch with her. He's been in touch with her. And, you know, one of the things that I'll just say this. Yesterday, this is a very personal thing, but one of the things I do to deal with things like this, I write music. I write songs, and I wrote a song, you know, I've done this in the past for things that were meaningful. I started to write a song, and I just sort of what came to my head. And as I was writing the song and singing it, I mean, it was like a prayer, and it was very powerful. And all this emotion was coming out, and you know, praying for my friend through this song. And I really felt the power of it. And I think that when we make when we come together like we're doing now, and we talk about our friend, and we ask everybody for their thoughts and their prayers, that it really does something. Because we really are coming together for this very important person in our movement, and just a great guy and a great friend who needs us right now. So keep that coming. So anyway, long story short, I got an email today from Thomas, you know, saying that the doctors say that he's improving. So that to me is a testimony that what we're doing is working, you know, because I do believe that in the hospital, the overall situation, maybe not the individual doctors, they're just administering whatever, you know, whatever treatments they're required to administer. But which
I would never discount the power of prayer, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I think we're all pretty much Christians that are in this movement. Like you said, if it is a movement, it is at its forefront. Christian people.
Yeah.
Right. You know, we really are.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's about coming together for that, and I totally agree. That prayer is powerful, and the healing power of Christ can't be denied, no matter, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome that he's getting better. So it makes me a little less worried.
Yep.
Well, good to hear. Hopefully he'll continue to improve.
All right.
Yeah. Getting a little echo. I don't know where that's coming from. I'm going to put myself on mute.
Yeah, I'm not sure where that was.
Yeah, I don't know either. I upgraded my headset, so I've been having good luck with this now. I remember I used to have a lot of problems.
So you're using headphones, right, Gregory?
Yeah, I got a headset, mic, everything.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I don't see why we're getting
access. Yeah,
sometimes the controls. Yeah, you know, there are little bugs sometimes with all the wiring and all of the other tasks, multitasking, you know, in the control room and what have you. So I don't know.
So
like
one last note real quick on the song. The song is I specifically asking Jesus, to help save my friend. And
attaboy.
And then just in the second line is just like it's Jesus, won't you help to save my friend? Just like the time you brought Lazarus back from the dead. So that's kind of like the hook in the song right there, just in case you were wondering. But it is absolutely a prayer, and that's why I think it's so important to read the Gospels, because then you know
what that's awesome, buddy.
Jesus actually did. And then you can link that to what you're trying to accomplish now. You know, I think that's what God wants us to do. Anyway.
And even people who are not Christian, I mean, the power of your directed intent intention has a powerful potential. I mean, my family, my parents were raised as Christians, and in their households, I mean, I went to a Catholic grade school for 8 years, but I can't say I've been a practicing. They weren't too strict to I don't know. Well, my mother did go to church pretty often, but I mean, I myself have, you know, been a bit more agnostic than you know, strict Christian in my adult life, because I just don't like to make any assumptions.
Yeah, organized religion is lame, though, man.
It's
a tax stam. That's all it is.
Right, but
the 501c3 World Council of Churches. We've talked about this before. How they, they're all beholden to that. And if they don't use the doctrine that the World Council of Churches puts down, then they lose their tax free status.
Yeah. But I mean, suffice to say, I mean, there's a lot of truth, you know. The message of Christ, no matter what your belief system. The Ten Commandments are, pretty much just.
I disagree about Ten Commandments. That's Old Testament stuff. Those were just basically a set of rules for amongst Jews. When they're talking about you're not supposed to cover your neighbor's wife, it was assumed that all their neighbors were Jews.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and then that was a set of rules between themselves.
I'm not trying to get into a whole religious.
I'm not into the Old Testament.
My show's not a religious theme. I mean, a lot of there are a lot of hosts and listeners who aren't Christian as well at RBN, so we're not trying to pigeonhole. Or make any of us feel guilty or pressured toward this or that. So I'm really not trying to go in that direction. But of course, that positive energy and a lot of just natural law can have parallels to some of those belief systems of Christianity. And I'm not giving high kudos to the Jews Old Testament, Gregory. No worries.
Let me follow up just a little on that. And like I said, you know, the Jesus is when the New Testament came out of. So, and then all I'm saying is, like, all I was advocating is, you know, whether you're Christian or not, just reading the Gospels is a really, you know, great great thing to do. You know, I'm not saying go to church or do anything. A lot of like Greg was saying, you know, the church, man, is largely just totally corrupted now. It's like your own personal study that you do, and you know, and if you, it's not your thing, you know, no pressure. For me, I had a pretty great experience from reading the four books. Those, you know, they're pretty short. Those four accounts of Jesus's life, which is the Gospels, those first four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Bible, and that's all. That's what I'm saying.
All right. Yeah. No.
None of us are Bible geeks, really. We all like it, but none of us are real. Like, it's kind of just another thing, though.
Anyway, let's move on to something.
Right. But it's not something we care that much about.
We're going on to news, or what are we doing?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've mentioned earlier this week, but you know, of course, the pressure from the establishment for these shots is not giving up as much as we have in a lot of states in the U.S. and a lot of other countries who are completely rejecting this by this point. But nonetheless, you know, I mean, we don't have much backing down. And over in the U.K. as well, many think they're going to go back to a plan B of harsh restrictions this coming winter. The Pfizer CEO is saying normal life won't return without regular COVID vaccinations. Even in Israel, they're protesting after they were told they need at least a second booster shot before you're considered vaccinated. And of course, it's clear to everyone in every country now, they're going to keep pushing the bar a little further down the line, you know, moving the bar of what's required, you know, just a bit more at a time to make sure that you don't get too much unrest. It seems to be the formula that they're sticking to. And then, of course, we have the National Guard already deployed in New York due to hospital staff shortage, all the firings due to the vaccine mandates. We're on the verge of the greatest shortage of healthcare workers in U.S. history, one article starts on.
If we were in a real pandemic, there's no way in heck they'd be firing those people.
And you know something, Gregory, that in New York State now, even if you don't quit, just wait until they fire you, you can't get unemployment.
Jeez.
Yeah. Well, they're playing hardball.
Oh, man. There's going to be a lot of lawsuits, but whatever.
It's called murder.
Yeah.
It's called genocide.
All right. Yeah, this the vaccine stuff is where a lot of people draw the line, you know. That's the hill that they're going to...
And some people are wondering why there are more protests overseas than here in the U.S. I mean, we've had a bit so far.
We're so cucked here. Americans.
On that note, this is a humorous article this morning. UK to begin nationwide fluoridation of tap water. What timing, you know? Maybe we're all sedated here from the fluoridation in the tap water. Most people are unaware of the drink. But it being a mild tranquilizer, who knows? Maybe that fluoride is making less Americans protest to these mandates and this.
It's a neurotoxin, so quite possibly.
Yeah.
It could have something to do with it. If they put it in the water, you know.
And then Australia's astonishing tyranny keeps growing is the way an article over at sovereignman.com is.
Yeah, it's getting worse.
Yeah. It's I don't know, complete totalitarianism. How do you go back from that? You know, I mean, once you give away all your freedoms, all this power,
once the guns are gone, everything else is. They can't. There's nothing. They don't. There's nothing to stop them. That's all they care about, really. And getting rid of guns, and then they can do whatever they want to you.
And the school system, colleges have become a permanent surveillance bureaucracy. Is what another article is pointing out. Academia is establishing a permanent surveillance bureaucracy that will soon govern the rest of the country. You know, because I mean, a lot of this is planned for the Great Reset, right? I mean, this World Economic Forum, they want to take away your privacy. You will own nothing and be happy. You also have no privacy. You'll have no privacy whatsoever.
We don't anyway now.
Cameras in your shower, the whole thing.
You call it privacy, not privacy?
Well, you know, sometimes British can pronounce it that way. My wife's British, so she has the accent, and sometimes...
Does she call cigarettes pads?
Yeah, it can be pronounced privacy, sure.
Aluminium? Yeah, I like those.
Well, she doesn't understand why we mispronounce that word so severe.
Which one? Aluminium?
Aluminum.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, wait, it looks like we have a. Well, here.
Yeah.
Let's go to the break. So I see we have a break here, but we have a caller who just jumped in queue. We'll take his call as soon as we get back.
Awesome.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the CoCertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You look at me and I wonder what goes on. All the money, the bad, all those things. I can never be sure where to begin.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative, Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey here with my Wednesday co-hosts, Gregory McGill and William Repillum. And really quickly before we go to the caller here, just an example of how politicized this is, because these governments have already made obligations to these vaccine manufacturers to keep pushing the shot, even if, you know, adverse events, and including deaths, occur, to continue to purchase them, you know, with the amounts already agreed upon regardless, no matter what. And we have over at the UK government there plans in the works for the fall, the autumn. By winter, they're saying, at least. They expect they're going to shift the narrative again. But right now, British government is already trying to bypass the parliament to implement these vaccine passports. Over here, the United States is excluding travelers who are vaccinated with Russia's Sputnik V, despite it being distributed to 70 countries. So, I mean, that doesn't show you how much this is just twisted and with so many overlapping.
Clown world.
Yeah, yeah.
Really is everything full clown mode.
But the inflation is just going to continue skyrocketing in every way. I mean, T-shirt and jean inflation coming with decade high cotton prices. They're saying no French fries with any order. We have no potatoes. Expect shortage there. There are again potatoes. See, from my British influencer.
But yeah, have your British wife.
We have Charles. We have Charles in Florida. Here, let's hear from Charles. What's on your mind, sir?
Yeah, but Gary, what's his full name?
David Gahari.
David Gahari.
David Gahari. Yeah, he writes for the American Free Press, too.
The second edition of Dennis Wise's The Greatest Story Ever Told.
Irish,
Charles, I'm just mentioning some of the things he's been publishing. Dennis Wise's The Greatest Story Never Told, you know, that like 6-hour film. He's second edition. He's taking care of getting out there
currently
distributing with that. Hellstorm, you know, the book and the film adaption. A lot of James Fetzer's books as well, for that matter. Just a lot of very controversial material. He's an important publisher in the movement. So, yeah, it's very concerning. But, I mean, if he is starting to get a little better, that's good news. What else are you going to add, Charles?
Well, you know, that's the problem. I saw on the truthseeker.co.uk one doctor was talking about... Yeah, I'm getting an echo. This is an example of how Anthony Fauci knows, and a lot of these physicians know exactly what they're doing. They put somebody on remdesivir, which is the most expensive, worth thousands of dollars, you know, and it attacks the liver. It creates the pulmonary edema, is liquid invading the lungs. It creates an impression that a person has pneumonia, and they don't. They're just being deliberately poisoned. This particular doctor cited a study that Fauci used, and
remdesivir was killing people. It was poison. There were two studies Fauci tried to cite as his reason last year for why remdesivir should be exclusively used to treat people. When it turns out, if anyone would have actually done the homework, like you're saying, Charles, looked at those two studies, he was trying to cite as examples.
It was just completely
ridiculous,
Fauci,
the amount of people that died from it. Yeah. But I was
particular study, 54% of the people died. They had the absolute gall to use this particular study to prove that remdesivir is good for patients.
It just proves that everyone is just complacent. No one is doing any double checking on anything. You know, no one's doing fact checking. You know,
they're complicit. A lot of them are just complicit because it's earning thousands of dollars.
When you brought up the difference in the X-rays is another thing I was going to say. Steve Elkins had been pointing out yesterday and Sunday and Monday too, for that matter. I mean, in the X-rays, it's very obvious. He says, you know, the difference between pneumonia and fluid-filled lungs, the pulmonary edema sort of situation. And these people are being misdiagnosed in a lot of cases. As well as some very dangerous, ill-advised drugs. Remdesivir, at the moment, it seems at the top of the list for what we've had the last year or so.
Well, a lot of people think the doctor is their friend. You run into people say, my doctor decides everything for me. That's stupid.
Yeah, well, here, we'll hold you over, Charles. We'll hold you over. We'll be right back. Folks.
Totally agree with everything.
As always, Charles, right on the mic.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site, It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
We are back, folks. Beyond the official narrative, Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey here with my Wednesday co-hosts, Gregory McGill and William Repillum. We have Charles in Florida on the line. Charles, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. I was just cutting in to try to make sure I clarified for the listeners some of what you were mentioning. But yeah, no, I mean, you. Well, I don't know if you wanted to mention something else about that, but Florida, are you confident Florida is going to stay a safe haven from all of these restrictions?
No, I'm not confident. I don't trust any of these politicians. I'm a cynic, really. I belong to the cynic school of philosophy. That's my main. I really don't believe that the guy like a governor of Texas or Florida, you know, you can't trust them because they owe their allegiance to Israel first. I don't know if we can trust any Republican, really, Ron Paul.
Yeah, I was trying to catch a little speech. Florida's DeSantis appointed some new health, I forget the exact title, this black dude, and I was trying to listen to his speech. I didn't have time before we got on the air. But, you know, it's supposedly saying, you know, we're going to follow the science, implying that, you know, what we've been dealing with, the mandates nationwide have not been. So, you know, the science, actual science insanity for Florida's radical new COVID plan. Radical because it's not radical at all. Like Steve Elkins was mentioning, you know, everything he's been taught and all of doctors and nurses, our entire generation, you know, boomers and Generation X combined, they are all told basically that everything they've been taught in medical school is not true anymore. And we have all these new rules you know. And of course, all these, we're supposed to believe it's more deadly, more, you know, more severe with variants as well. Completely opposite of what happens in nature. But I don't know. So, okay, you're a cynic. You're not even confident Florida and Texas will stay safe havens. So anything else, Charles, on your just your perspective?
Yeah, yeah. What's his name on Fox News?
Tucker.
Tucker, yeah, Tucker Carlson. Last week he had his familiar Jewish physician on there again, pushing remdesivir, which is most expensive alternative drug. You know, oh, use that, you know, and then Tucker Carlson is, oh yeah, that's fine, and you know, you can't trust him.
Okay,
you can't trust Fox News.
Wow, so Tucker Carlson doesn't even know about remdesivir's issues. That's that's not good.
Maybe you know, it's just part of his scam, you know. Controlled opposition. How do we know? I don't trust him. He's kosher conservatives. I don't trust any of them.
That's just weird. Yeah, he's currently more willing to speak out against the ADL than remdesivir. That just shows how much this medical theory is part of the Great Reset, folks.
Yeah. That's about all I have to say.
No, Tucker said the F word, like F them, about ADL when he was on Megyn Kelly's podcast.
Yeah, supposedly he said that.
Well, no, I heard it. Yeah, I know he did say it. Yeah. Yeah. It was like kind of, she was talking at the same time. Right. She was speaking at the same time. So you couldn't, you know, it wasn't too clear for the listeners. But yeah, he did say it.
How did that, I don't understand, what context was that in? Was that like, was that on the news? Or,
I said when he was on Megyn Kelly's podcast, she was fired.
Yeah. I know, I saw it.
But okay.
And it looked like it was spliced together, like they cut out a certain, because all of a sudden he was laughing. And it was weird. It wasn't like, it was like they had cut out a piece of it, but they didn't cut out the F them, which was very strange if that's, you know, like a public news station.
Okay. All right. Yeah. No, I only just caught a bit of it when I was going through some links the other day.
An open mic?
Well, no, it was his appearance on Megyn Kelly's podcast, you know, where swearing is allowed, of course, not part of Fox or anything, that she does now on the internet, you know, her own podcast.
Yeah, everywhere But Charles, of course, it originally came up
about the ADL because, instead of saying it himself, Tucker put on a clip of Biden, you know, from what, 2015 or something, quite a few years ago, talking about a white genocide, basically, you know, how we're finally reaching minority status and how wonderful that is.
Did you notice how that doesn't even look or sound like the guy they have now and call Biden?
Enough of that. You know, it's not really good. It does. First of all, it doesn't matter. Okay, because
it doesn't matter. I'm just saying, pointing out all these anomalies. That's all.
Yeah, but you just kind of sound kooky, like QAnon shaman when you're talking about body doubles. Okay, maybe Hillary or Biden have body doubles at times for appearances. You know, but we know that there are orders from
higher. I'm not saying it's a body double. I'm saying it might be a completely different thing.
Anyway, but that just gets a little too wacky. We're trying to have serious reporting. It's so hard to compete with the corporate media.
There's no evidence other than what you can hear and see. It doesn't sound like the same guy. That's all I'm saying. But then again, this guy probably has dementia.
It's not that worth addressing, though, is all. But I don't know. Well, okay, Charles.
Anyway,
well,
go ahead. Yeah,
Charles, is there any last-minute thought you had for today?
No. It's all part of being hoodwinked. I don't call it gaslighting. I call it hoodwinking.
There you go.
Be careful to be – you don't know who your friends are, really. So being hoodwinked. Yeah, everybody thinks that the physicians aren't in on the thing. Oh, really? The majority of politicians?
Slaves to the insurance companies,
how do we know?
For sure. And Big Pharma. Yeah, right? I mean, that's who doctors answer to.
Okay. All right, well, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Hey, I'll just
always good from Charles.
There is a difference between hoodwinking and gaslighting. I believe they're not the same at all. Hoodwinking is basically fooling people.
Yeah.
Gaslighting is basically what they're doing with people who aren't getting vaccinated. They're gaslighting them, and they're trying to create a narrative around them that they're evil.
Make you think you're crazy, and that everyone else, you know, is seeing things differently.
Gaslighting can be looked at as a form of, as like a subcomponent of hoodwinking, I guess, or sure. A way to hoodwink people through gaslighting. So I guess I see the connection there.
Yeah, indeed. But I mean, I don't know, like, how much are they going to tolerate the American people, at least over here in our country, as far as just these mass firings, this ostracization from society, before anyone will do anything, before we at least see the kind of protests we're hearing in Greece, France, even UK. I don't know.
Australia too. They're protesting like crazy in Australia. They're doing that, but
it's awesome.
I mean, what kind of, you know, the government doesn't care.
But if we have to wait till it's that bad here, as it is in Australia, most people will already be conditioned to take that boot stamping on the face.
Well, they got
to
get our guns first.
Well, I don't know, though.
There's
I mean,
of them, buddy.
Yeah, but
saving that for last.
I don't know. You know, when would people act? It's only a percentage of the population who are really awake to things, even of the ones who have their guns. A lot of them believe all this COVID narrative. They don't have sources like the independent media sites, radio stations like Republic Broadcasting. And, you know, and of course, there's no organization, and it's very difficult to have any sort of organization. Any sort of rallies, of course, get infiltrated. You know, I mean, we've had things focusing on white related.
Political
election, there was a Charlottesville, and then of course January 6th was more about the fraud in the elections. It was a bit polarized in Republican heavy. Focus, but something that could just be about COVID in this country, and just, you know, no race or political leaning, just something that is just anti-lockdowns, anti-PCR test lockdown, which is completely fraudulent. I mean, 97 or higher percent false positive, okay, is what we've heard a lot of experts saying about these tests. Why isn't that discussed more? And as far as the shots and what they can and can't do for people who have symptoms, you know, because, whether or not you have COVID or positive, quote unquote positive, is very debatable.
I have
Howard.
A question.
Okay, yeah. We'll go to another call.
Go ahead. Question. And I've been meaning to throw this out there. And that is, if the virus has never been isolated, how can it even be 97% false positive?
We're talking about the PCR test.
I know.
97 to 99% is the way I heard doctors stating it
interview. I know, Richard. That
has nothing to do with the existence of COVID. I mean, that can be triggered by all sorts of cold and flu related from past or present, and just a little bit of a sequence. I mean, the PCR tests were designed to get.
You're not understanding my question, Richard. Sorry, let me just, so.
Some are claiming it has been isolated, and I don't want to get hung up on whether or not it's been isolated, because I think is a path that doesn't help either, honestly.
I see where your stance is. Okay, we'll agree to disagree. No problem.
I mean, well, if you want to get our freedoms back, it doesn't matter if it's been isolated or not to get our freedoms back, okay? And let me put it that way.
Well, that should be the goal, though, right? Getting our freedoms back.
Yeah.
Don't you think that what else is more important than that?
And the facts that are easily provable about just how small the mortality rate, when you look at the comorbidities.
It's easy to go off on tangents. I just did it too with, you know.
And when
Biden,
you look at how many deaths from these shots, these things should have been pulled a long time ago. And there's just no rational explanation on either of those fronts. We just hammer those things to death in this country. for with everyone. That could be a winning strategy without getting hung up on these other things, which are, you know, are more difficult to prove considerably, and you're going to lose so many people in the process. It might, you might not get enough on board before full-on totalitarianism is conditioned in most people, where they just stop fighting, and then you're going to have a problem, because if most people in most countries are no longer willing to even try to resist, they think, oh well, this is the new normal. Come on, I mean, freedoms, that was before all of these diseases in the modern world. You can't have those kind of freedoms anymore. You're crazy. Howard in Pennsylvania. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi there. Hi. I just wanted to call in about the gaslighting term, which, you know, I think it's based on a film called Gaslight, starring Ingrid Bergman. And now her husband is played by...
Right. Yeah, that is it. I remember reading about that.
I heard about that. Yeah, don't explain for the listeners.
I saw that probably 15 years ago. And then there's also a Steely Dan song called Gaslighting Abby, which is pretty cryptic. I don't exactly know what the song is about, but in terms of bringing it into, like, pop culture, in terms of it being a verb, you know, where you're gaslighting someone, I think that probably was maybe the first time it was ever used in a song. But I don't exactly remember what happens in the husband of Ingrid Bergman. She's trying to make her seem like she's insane, and their actual gaslights are dimming or something. And, yeah, it was an actual gaslight, but that's where it comes from, I think. But anyway, that's about all I have to say.
I haven't seen that yet, but I think that it was mentioned in Murder by Injection in the book. He mentioned that that very book. Talking about, I may be wrong, I'm sort of guessing here, but it sounds exactly like what he was talking about when it was like the first people that were starting the American Medical Association. I think it was Dr. Simonson and then this other, I'm sorry, I forgot the name. It's such a good story, but they basically were trying to get their wives thrown in the same asylums, and so they could divorce them and have their cake and eat it, whatever.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that was all I was saying. I enjoy the show. I hear it probably every one, only on Wednesdays, but cool, guys. Thanks. Keep it up, and yeah, just, you know, try to keep the eye on the ball. You know, a lot of little things could be distracting, and I could say that.
Right, that's true.
Actually, yeah. You know, like, is there...
I just kind of looked it up real quick. Yeah. It said that the term came from a title of a 1938 British stage play that was later made into a movie. And it depicted some of the basic elements of the technique of how it was gaslighted, how people are gaslighted.
Well, right, yeah. And I guess the technique itself may be more esoteric than just the pop. It being a play, it's, you know, stuff like that can be far older, or could have far more thought put into it, you know, psychological.
1938 play, even.
Now, Howard, what was that you mentioned when you gave an example of some of the distractions you mentioned?
Oh, just debating. Like the space program. That's one where I do get in trouble sometimes. I do put energy into it. I'll be looking at this so-called, drone on Mars, and I'm just like, no, I don't think so, you know, because they tell you it has 1/99th or 1/100th of the atmosphere, and they increase the RPMs from 400 to 1200. So an increase of that much is supposed to counteract there being zero, you know, atmosphere. But really, how important is that? You know what I mean?
Right.
Probably not that important. But even like this Gabby Petito thing, it's odd how much of the news it's taking up, and I'm like, I'm not totally sure. I just have to trust my instinct and think, you know, I feel bad for the family if this is all true, but I just don't entirely feel instinctively that this is legit. It feels like some kind of Freemasonic gag to me, but again, it's not that important, I guess, but there's so many distractions everywhere. But I'm reading books about, you know, other things. I don't spend a lot of time being distracted, but I am concerned. So, anyway, yeah, I'm actually at work, so I gotta get back to work.
Okay. Well, thanks.
All right,
appreciate your call.
All right. Yeah, thanks. Take care.
Yeah, thanks for calling, brother.
And William,
just one thing I just wanted to mention was that I think that even talking about COVID is sort of a distraction they want us to do, because it's BS, and what they're really doing is they're doing the Great Reset. We don't ever talk about it.
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah, yeah. We don't stress enough that the economic
right
centralization,
great point,
digitization, buddy, is the primary objective. We'll be right back.
Extendivite 7 herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are back, folks, for the final segment. Beyond the official narrative, Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey here with Gregory McGill and William Rapillum. And William, it's not that I don't reference that. I don't mention it every day, and I really possibly should, you know? I mean, because some people only catch certain broadcasts.
Yeah.
I think maybe on Monday, because I talk about economics with Paul Edward Stevenson a lot on Mondays. Last week, I know I referenced in the last week or so Catherine Austin Fitz and how she has confirmed much of what you can find out just on World Economic Forum's own website, for that matter. But she confirms how much, 2008 was kicking the can down the road, and they really needed a good excuse as far as a reset and further centralization on a global scale, medical passports, ushering in the door for social credit score-based digital a central bank digital currencies in the future. And that is the end game, absolutely. And that's why it, you know, things will wax and wane a bit. You can hang out in Texas or Florida for a while, but eventually I think, you know, evil is going to overpower with the system, unless something happened on, you know, a global scale. So you really need to start investing in those communities outside the system now, all the listeners out there and ourselves included. You know, parallel systems, I mean, you need to start finding communities gradually in our lifetime where you can have local farmers, local bartering, and just, you know, groups of people disconnect more and more from the system, where they can exist outside it, maybe still dabble in it a bit, but be ready for the day where they can't get anything from it whatsoever. And but as far as the land, you know, with property taxes and that, you know, it may be quite a battle in the final. You know, I mean, we need a national Bundy Ranch incident, maybe for a final standoff, being like, no, we are going to have this patch of land, and I'm sorry, but you know, we're not taking any global world order tyranny.
You literally have to fight for some kind. If you're going to try to build something like that, they're going to do everything they can to not let you have it. So, yeah, you might literally have to fight in the future if you want to keep something like that. But William, they might just Waco you.
William, did you want to comment on that for a moment? But with the as we run out the clock.
I think you mentioned Catherine Austin Fitz, and she's a great example of somebody who talks about the economic thing, which is kind of the quintessential thing, and then references COVID and just making COVID look like a ridiculous sham in the process. And because she's so credible and she's able to speak to the, you know, she's an investment banker. So she's able to speak that language and then bring COVID into the fold of that conversation. It's very powerful. And, thank you for bringing her up on there. Yeah,
absolutely. We need to bring this up more often.
All right. Yeah, it's all about the money. Always is.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, thank you, Gregory, thanks, William. Guys. Always a pleasure.
Yep.
All right, folks. Well, please continue to support RBN. Keep all this information coming to you daily. Stick around for Patrick Slattery with National Bugle Radio. So that's in the broadcast. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.